person, and we would take it to heart and just pray you be with this young lady that given her heart to the Lord.
Amen.
Just pray, bless her, keep her, protect her, and lead her in your word, Lord.
Jesus, yes.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to be in 1 Timothy. We're going to be in chapter 2, and I'm going to be reading from verse 1 to verse 8. It says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So Paul is giving Timothy an exhortation here, and he's exhorting Timothy and I think all the brethren, he's exhorting them to pray for all men. This is what he's doing in this passage. And as he's doing this, he's kind of reasoning through why he's telling him this. Why is he telling them that they should be praying for all men? And he starts explaining his reasoning, and he gives this beautiful passage that I think is very well known. And he goes into so much, I guess, depth. You know, it's not something like he's not really covering it all, but just he's taking from a well, and he's just explaining why we should be praying for all men. And he says some of the most amazing things that we know about Jesus Christ, right? God. And he gives us a beautiful passage right here that we can take from. And so I want to talk about that today. But first of all, why is he telling us that we should pray for all men? Because that's what he's starting off with, verse 8. You know that you notice that that's what he's ending with. This is what his point is in this passage. He's telling us that we should be praying. We should be interceding. We should be supplicating. We should be seeking. We should be asking God for all men. That's what we should be doing. And the reason he's telling us this is because he tells us that it's good and acceptable in the sight of God. It's good and acceptable. It's good. It's reasonable that we would be praying for all men. Amen. And the reason behind it is because he says God desires all men to be saved. And so it's reasonable for Christians to have the same desire for people to be saved. And if you have the desire for people to be saved, you know what you should be doing? You should be praying for them. Amen. So he tells us we should be praying for all men. And through when you read the context, it seems like what he's talking about is that you need to have a desire for people to be saved. This is what we should be praying for people. We should be praying for people to be saved. Listen, there's a lot of things to pray about. There's a lot of things to ask about. And there certainly are a lot of petitions we can bring before each other. But listen, there is nothing as important as praying for the salvation of souls.
Amen.
There's nothing even compares to that. We need to pray for people to be saved. And what he emphasizes here is, as you look at it, the throughout this whole place, is he's emphasizing this word all. He's emphasizing that we pray for all men.
Amen.
And you notice Paul and others, you think about James, he does not want us to have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect of persons. There shouldn't be, you know, only certain groups of people you will pray about, and other people you're not going to pray for. This isn't how it should work. You shouldn't be reserving the gospel of Jesus Christ and holding it back from certain people.
Amen.
And it's interesting how sometimes this is something that automatically in our nature we might want to tend to do. We might see somebody and think, well, I don't know if they're ready for it yet, or I don't know if they need it right now. I don't know. And for some reason, you hold back. Listen, something we see clearly, and I think this is making it also a point, we should not hold back the gospel from anybody.
Right.
We should be praying and we should be seeking salvation for all people. For all. It's not something we hold back. It's not about preferring some before others, as he talks about later on in the book. It's not about having persons in admiration because of advantage that we want to take from them. Paul talks about in other places that people, that the Jews, what were they? They were contrary to all men. Instead of praying for all men and seeking for all men to be saved, they were contrary to all men, and they were forbidding to speak to the Gentiles. So that they wanted it to just be a closed group and only salvation for us. And Paul says, that's not how it should be. We should be praying for all men. We should be praying for all men. And the reason he gives is because God wills that all men be saved. And so if this is the will of God, is it not reasonable that this is what the will of us should be also? That will should transfer over to us as Christians. We should also desire all men to be saved. We should desire all men to be saved. I don't think Christians, it's not Christian-like to not desire certain groups' salvation.
Right. Amen.
Listen, even if you have enemies that want to kill you, you should still desire their salvation.
Yeah.
That's an interesting thing when you think about it. You have people that actually want to destroy you. It's still not worth, or it's still not Christ-like to desire them to go to hell. You should be actually praying for them. You should desire all men to be saved. And that word, you know, go to hell, is something that gets thrown around so lightly all the time. Go to hell, go to hell, go to hell. Listen, we have minimized the gravity of hell.
That's true.
It is so bad, so terrible, you do not want your enemies to go there.
Yeah, amen.
You and I should desire all men to be saved, because that's what God's desire is.
Right.
God desires all men to be saved, and we should be praying for all. We should be praying for everybody. In fact, we should be praying for kings and all them that are in authority. And I think we should be praying for them, not only that they get saved also, but that they allow us to preach the gospel freely so that we can get the gospel message to all people.
Amen.
You know, there may be some leaders that you don't like or you don't agree with, but that doesn't mean you don't pray for them.
Right.
The point is, pray for all men. Because God wants all men to be saved. And so that's how he gets into what he begins to talk about here. And interesting how Paul does this so many times. You know, he's talking about one thing and then he gets into why he's talking about that. And sometimes that, even though that's not the main point, what he's bringing up, it's just he gets so deep into it, it becomes even more interesting sometimes than his main point. His main point is pray for all people. But boy, you can't get really focused on that when you're thinking about all these things he's talking about here, the rich, the fullness of this verse 4 and verse 5 and verse 6. You can't hardly, you know, keep your eyes off of that. But he is telling us to pray for all men. So keep in mind, that is what he wants you to do. Pray for all men. Don't hold the gospel, don't hold it back from anybody. Just remember that. Now, I want to talk about what he says there in verse 4. He says that God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Consider the importance and the necessity of salvation. Consider what he's saying. What God is interested in. That is something of great value. That is something of great importance. And you see, Jesus, when Jesus was here, he made it clear what the focus should be on. He made it clear that you have nothing as valuable as your soul. Amen. He made it abundantly clear. There's nothing more important, nothing you should be focused on more than your soul. And God puts great importance and great value on salvation. You being saved. So much so that he says, God wills that all men be saved. This is the will of God, that all men be saved. Now, he tells us this in many different places. For example, in Peter, he tells us that God is not willing that any should perish. God is not willing that any should perish. God wants all men to be saved.
Amen.
In 2 Timothy, he tells us that if God peradventure will give them that oppose repentance to the acknowledging of the truth so that they can escape themselves from the snare of the devil, right? That they're taken captive at his will. God wants people to be saved. This is God's will and God's desire. And if that is God's desire, can you think of anything more important? Can you think of anything greater than that? If this is what God really wants, this is God, what God desires, man, that should be the desire that we have also. But God wants all men to be saved, and you know that because God was willing to do whatever it took to be able to save men, which is an amazing thing. But it's interesting to think that God wants all men to be saved, and yet men don't even know that they need to be saved. And this is why I think prayers should be made. Because God wants all men to be saved. This is what the passage tells us. God desires that men would be saved. And yet, there's so many people that are oblivious that they even need salvation. People don't even think they need to be saved. But God says you do. God says he wants you to be saved. And yet, one of the greatest dangers is that we think that we're okay. One of the greatest dangers is that we think everything's fine. We're fine with God. And you know, this is because the truth has been hidden. And what he says is, God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. You see, because this necessity for you to be saved has been hidden. It's something that people do not see. And if you're here today and you're not saved, you need to know this. You are lost and you are going to be condemned because of your sin and you need to be saved. And that's what God wants for you. He tells us in 2 Corinthians that if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And he tells us there that the minds have been blinded by Satan. Minds have been blinded by Satan so that they cannot see their need to be saved. They don't know that they need to be saved. And I'd like to say that if you have never recognized your need for salvation, if you don't recognize the severity of your sin and how it has put you in a place of grave danger, then you might be blinded today. You might be blind. You may have grown up in a religion, and you know, the danger really of religion is that it makes you feel close to God when you're not close to God. And that's dangerous. That's something everybody should consider. Do you think you're close to God? But are you close to God? Because you have to be close to God. And the dangers that you find in religion, the danger that I think Satan is really trying to you know, he appears, he manifests himself as an angel of light, is because he's trying to get you to think you're fine. You're okay with God. And you don't need him. But God says something different. God says they need to be saved. That's what God says. That's what God sees. Sin is real. This is the truth. He says he wants you to come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants men to come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved.
Amen.
God wants you to know the truth.
Amen.
Sin is real. Sin has really, truthfully separated you from God.
Amen.
You're going to die and you will find yourself an enemy of God if you're not in Christ Jesus. And that's your worst nightmare. That you die and you're actually an enemy of God. When you thought you were fine with God. Consider that. Jesus says, many are going to come to me and they're going to say, Lord, Lord. They think they're fine with God. They think they're on God's side. They think everything's okay. In fact, they say, we did this in your name and we did that in your name. And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. That's the real danger you're in. That's the real truth that you have to wake up to, that you have to see, that you have to acknowledge. Condemnation is real. The loss, the terror, the torment. This is all real things. It's not just something that we exaggerate in order to get you to be fearful. This is true. This is real. Jesus told us. Jesus warned us of the dangers. And the point is, you need to be saved.
Amen.
That's what God wants. And you need to see that. You need to see the danger that you're in. And you need to be. You need to see the need of salvation. Now he says that you need to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And you know, what does that look like? Well, repentance is a word that seems like it's awfully associated. Every time we see the acknowledging of the truth, it's that we're seeking a repentance. It's because we are going our own way. We're living our own life thinking we're correct, doing what we're doing. And what salvation looks like, what getting the knowledge of truth looks like, is that we recognize that our ways are not able to get us to God. Our ways are not enough, and we have to repent of that. We have to stop trusting in our ways and our methods and our gods and all the things that we have come up with. We have to stop trusting in that, and we have to repent. We have to repent from our ways.
Amen.
We have to repent from our sin, and we have to trust in Jesus Christ. That's what salvation looks like. That's what God wants for all men. And that's what he says, who will have all men to be saved. And so look at that emphasis on all. Isn't that an amazing thing? He says it in verse 1, right, that we pray for all men. He says that in verse 4, that all men to be saved. He says that in verse 6, that he gave himself a ransom for all. Look at that emphasis on that word all. You see that there is no exception. There is no different. God wants all to be saved because all need to be saved.
Amen.
There is no exception. Do not think that you're the one that can do it by yourself or that you don't need it. All need to be saved.
Amen.
The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This includes you. This includes everybody. In fact, this is the one thing that undeniably unites all of humanity.
Right.
We're all sinners. There's one thing I can guarantee that you have in common with people that are living across the world that have never met you, that may know nothing about you or your society. There's one thing we know for sure. They're a sinner. And so are you. All are sinners. But the great thing is that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men.
Amen.
God has provided a way for all. Not only is it that all are condemned because of their sin, not is it that all are just sinners without hope, but the great thing about all is that salvation is offered to all. It's not an exclusive thing. God is willing to save any who come through him. Salvation is for all. And so, as we look at this, I love the structure that's used. He says it includes both the inclusivity of all, but at the same time, it shows the exclusivity of one. You recognize that, right? He's talking about all, but then he says this. He says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Listen, all need to be saved, and God made it available to all by one.
Amen.
There is a way for all to be saved by one. There's no way to be saved outside of the one. And that's what he's telling us here. He says something, he says, for there is one God. And you know, that should be clear. That should be understandable. That should actually just make sense. There is one God. God is supreme. God is above all. God is great. God is all in all. How can there be two? There can't. There's one God. And you see that many religions in the world, many different groups, many different thoughts and ways of seeing things. There's a lot of different ways, but there has to be one truth. And the one truth is there's one God.
Amen.
It cannot be Anubis and Kali and Allah and all of these. You can't have them all. And it can't be that one and the other one. It's one God.
Amen.
One God.
Amen.
And that's the God of the Bible. Now, that, you know, that could be difficult for some people to accept. And it is hard. It is hard if you've been taught that there's another God, or that there's other gods, or that there's a multitude of gods. But the truth that God wants you to come to, and the truth that God is trying to through Paul, tell Timothy that you need to pray for men to come to, is that they need to understand that there is one God. And as there is one God, there's also one mediator between God and man.
Amen.
There's only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
There is no other mediator. There's nobody else that can bring you to God. Like it was explained, you need salvation. You need to be saved from your sin. And there is no way to do that without this one way. There's no way for you to save yourself. There's no religion that can save you. There's no other mediator between God and man. You see, the book of Hebrews is trying to get the Jews to kind of realize, wake up to what they have. And what they have is Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
they were still in the place where they were trying to trust in the priests that they had. They were still trusting in those sacrifices that they were giving. But they didn't recognize that those had no power to save them from their sins. Those priests had no power to save them. Those sacrifices had no power to save them. They didn't live up to what was needed to save them from their sins. But they did have Jesus. And he wanted them to see that. Don't you see that Jesus is enough? And Jesus can save you from your sins. And to the same point many times today, we give up Jesus for other things that they say were necessary. You don't need the sacraments to save you. Actually coming to church isn't going to save you. If you're depending, if you're thinking, if you're trusting on anything else aside from Jesus Christ, there is no salvation in that. Salvation is in one. Salvation is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm going to read what Acts chapter 4 tells us. And I would stay there in 1 Timothy, but Acts chapter 4, because Peter makes this clear when he's preaching. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, he says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other way. That's made clear by the Apostle Paul here. That's made clear by Peter when he says it. That's made clear by Jesus when Jesus said in his own words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do you see the exclusivity in Jesus Christ? Listen, it's an amazing thing that all are offered salvation. He says he wants to save all men, and he made it possible for all men to be saved through one, Jesus Christ, one mediator. And that was made clear. Now, he goes on to give us an explanation, a reason why it's only one and why it's that one. Why is it Jesus Christ? Because verse 6, he tells us, Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all. Jesus gave himself a ransom for all. Jesus Christ, who was without sin. Jesus Christ, who was holy. Jesus Christ, who was perfect. Jesus Christ gave his life a ransom for all.
Amen.
And that's why all can come. He says that anybody that wants to come to him has that offer. He can save anybody because Jesus Christ is the mediator of all. And so Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. The verse 3 told us that God was our Savior, right? This is acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. And our Savior is Jesus Christ because he gave himself a ransom for all. Get the picture of how important salvation is. How important salvation is to God. God went to the trouble of himself becoming man so that he could give his own life a ransom for all. It's an amazing thing to think about. And that is how valuable your soul is. That's how much important God gives your soul. He wants you to be saved. He wants to save your soul. That he was willing to give himself, a ransom. He was willing to pay. He was willing to give whatever had to be given in order to save you.
Thank you, Lord.
And this is the gospel. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what Paul says. I am ordained a preacher. This is what Paul gave his life for. This is what Paul was willing to do anything for because he knew the power of Jesus Christ to save all that come unto him.
Amen.
And so Paul says, he says, I made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. Because in Jesus Christ, there is salvation.
Amen.
And all need to be saved.
Amen.
If you're here today and you're not saved, if you're here today and you're lost, if you're here today and you don't think that you've ever been far from God, you think you've always been okay with God, you may be blinded to the truth that your sin has actually separated you from God.
Right.
And you're at enmity by your evil works and your thoughts have made you enemy of God. But there is an answer, and that is salvation.
Amen.
Saved. Saved from what? Well, the Bible tells us that we need to be saved from the wrath of God. Romans 5:9 says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath.
Amen.
Who do you have to be saved from? You have to be saved from the wrath of God. That's who you need to be saved from. It says that he delivers us from the wrath that is to come. Jesus Christ gave himself to save you. And you can be saved today if you believe on Jesus Christ. But there is no other way. There is no other option. Jesus Christ
Amen.
Is the only way. And that's why we sing about Jesus Christ. That's why we glory in Jesus Christ. That's why we are always praising Jesus Christ. Because salvation is not found in any other but Jesus Christ. And that's why then he takes this and tells us that's why we should be seeking for others to be saved. And if you desire for others to be saved, let me ask you, how much do you desire for others to be saved? I think it will reflect some on how much are you praying for others to be saved. That would be pretty consistent. If you truly desire for others to be saved, you would be praying for them. Paul says he was praying. He was constantly praying for his brethren to be saved. He wanted them to be saved, and he was praying for them. So if you recognize that God sees the great importance of salvation because he wants all men to be saved, then we should also be praying for others to be saved. This should be something that is deep within us, a desire for people to be saved, and we should pray for them. You should pray. Now, you should not exclude anybody. You should be willing and desirous of everybody to be saved. But there should be some that are closer to your heart that you're going to be praying for. That makes sense. Yeah. But remember, your desire and the desire of God is that all men be saved. And we should be striving for that. And so this was this passage that Paul gives, and I'm just amazed at how he made a way for all through one. And that's Jesus Christ. And I praise him for it. And if you're here today and you're not saved, you need to be. And you need to talk to somebody about salvation, because that's the most important thing that you have. That's the greatest need that you have, the salvation of your soul. And so right now I'm going to end this message with prayer, and then we're going to go gather outside to be part of a baptism, and then we'll be able to continue on to have dinner on the grounds. So let's go ahead and pray. Lord Jesus, we praise you, we thank you, because you were willing to give yourself as a ransom for us. Lord, you were willing to sacrifice your life in order to save us. And we thank you for it, Lord. We are amazed at who you are. We're amazed at your word. We're amazed at what you've done. And we're so content, Lord. We're so happy. We're so glad that you made salvation free and available, Lord, for all who want to come through you. Lord Jesus, I ask that if there's somebody here today that is not saved, that has not given their life to you, that is still trusting in themselves, that's still living for themselves, Lord, I just pray that you'd open their eyes. I pray that you'd shed your wonderful light in their heart so that they can see, that you'd give them the knowledge of the truth. Lord Jesus, we pray for Kaylee, Lord, that, Lord, you would just guide her and bless her. I pray that you would be with her the rest of her days, that you would fill her with knowledge and wisdom of your word. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the food that we get together to partake of and have fellowship. Lord, we thank you for all these wonderful things. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Okay, so we're going to meet out by the baptistry.